So we go over to Sydney, and like, I absolutely love that team there. Like, such a cool place to be. But we're over there doing all things small batch, and one of the team members was like, oh, like, we were in the storage unit and we found the box sets of all the airplane bottles, Basil, Knob, Baker's, Booker's. So there's like the four packs, right? And again, we don't make them anymore. I have not seen a full box, complete box set of the small batch minis in maybe ever. Like, I think I saw like one at our distillery. So I just loaded my suitcase up with as many of them that I could possibly fly home with.
This is Bourbon Pursuit, the official podcast of Bourbon, bringing to you the best in news, reviews, and interviews with people making the bourbon whiskey industry happen, and I'm one of your hosts, Kenny Coleman. Becoming a global brand ambassador for a major spirits company like Jim Beam involves building close relationships throughout the entire three-tier distribution system and constantly adapting branding and marketing as consumer tastes evolve. So for that, we invited Tim Heisler on the show. He's gone from behind the bar to traveling the globe as a brand ambassador to preach the gospel of Jim Beam's small batch portfolio. We talk about how their offerings span everything from lower proof introductory bourbons like Basil Hayden to the powerhouse that we all know as Booker's, and how they continue to deliver that message consistently. In addition, he also likes to take note of competitor innovations and emerging drink trends so they can launch new marquee expressions like the one we'll talk about today with Hardin's Creek, so they can stay ahead of the game. But with that, enjoy this week's episode. And now here's Fred Minnick with Above the Char.
I'm Fred Minnick, and this is Above the Char. This week's idea comes from Robert McMillan Achtmeyer, who writes me on fredminnick.com. I'm not sure if this is the correct format for an Above the Char question, so forgive me if it's not. No, it obviously is, Robert, because I'm reading it. My question is this. Over the years, my family has purchased a number of very nice decanters. I enjoy using them. However, I don't trust the longevity of their storage of bourbon or rye. What's the amount of time a bottle should be decanted before things start to decline? Thanks so much. Well, that's a great question, Robert. I, too, have tested this, and I, too, grow weary of having my bourbon in a decanter. Now, I'm assuming you're talking about like these nice decanters that you can get in a store. They've got like a glass topper, but that's what I'm assuming. But so I did a little test. I tested whether or not these are for safekeeping by putting a vintage spirit in a decanter, and I let it sit for 2 years. 2 years before I touched it. And believe me, when I tell you the amount of discipline it took for me not to drink this decanter was huge. Well, I'll tell you what, Robert, it held up. And what I noticed was it was a crystal decanter, and the crystal basically created like a, it created, I don't want to say a suction, but it created a seal so tight that I felt that there was no way it was going to evaporate. It was also stored nicely. It was in a nice, cool place. It was not in any way, shape, or form near sunlight. So it was in a cool, dark place. And so there was no way that the top could move by based on humidity or based on pressure or heat. And so I had it in good storage. And so I do believe the right decanter can sit for a long time. But I believe and the crystal decanters. When you start seeing these glass decanters, the cheaper ones with the corks in them and what have you, those are not going to last. Eventually, that cork is going to fail, and you're going to taste oxidation in it. But the ones that are that you spend money on, like the Waterford and Crystal one that I have, Glencairn decanter I have, those things will last. I know because I've tested it. Now, I tested it for 2 years. I couldn't make it three, but that's the extent of my experimentation. And I've got two strong years of data, which is about as long as any bourbon can last in my house. So there you go. I hope that helps, Robert. So trust the decanters as long as it's a good one. If it's not a good one, throw it away or give it to Goodwill. That's going to do it for this week's Above the Char. If you want to be like Robert, hit me up on fredminnick.com. That's fredminnick.com. click the contact button. If I like the idea, I'll read it on the air. Cheers.
It's that time of the year where everybody's starting to make their vacation plans on visiting Kentucky, the mecca of bourbon. And if you are coming to Kentucky, you need to make sure you visit us at Pursuit Spirits in Louisville. We're right in the heart of Clifton, near Butchertown and Nulu, and only just a few miles away from downtown Louisville. But when you do come, you need to book your experience to go do our whole shebang. This is the one that's really the star of the show. You get a full-on tasting. You get to do your own personal barrel selection experience. And you get to grab a whiskey thief and fill your bottle directly from the barrel. We're doing something completely brand new that nobody else is doing here in bourbon country. Plus, you get a free sweet tasting glass at the end of it. I guarantee you, you're going to end up being one of the many people that's also leaving us a five-star review. So make sure you come and check us out. You can book your reservation by going to pursuitspirits.com and clicking the Visit Us button. From their bar to yours, Chad and Sarah of the popular YouTube channel It's Bourbon Night bring you their favorite at-home old-fashioned mix with the new Elemental Elixir's Golden Hour Syrup. It's a custom-made syrup with notes of bold black tea, warm spices, and orange zest. All you need is your favorite whiskey and ice. No bitters needed. One bottle makes 16 drinks, so that's only $1 cocktail before you add your own whiskey. They can also be enjoyed in other cocktails or spirits, mocktails, coffee, tea, and anything you can think of. It's crafted locally in Lexington, Kentucky, and you can get your bottle now at whiskeyambitions.com.
And they're off for another Get 270 2020 Unicorn Raffle. Your $20 ticket gives you not one, but two chances to win from our lineup of 20 Woodford Reserve treasures, including the grand prize, the rarest unicorn yet, the Woodford Reserve Kentucky Derby 150 Baccarat Edition. Only 150 bottles were made and is just like the one the Derby winning owner receives. Quit horsing around and get your $20 tickets now at give270.org. Charitable gaming license ORG 0002703.
Welcome back, everybody. It's another episode of Bourbon Pursuit, the official podcast of bourbon. Kenny and Ryan here today talking with a new guest on the show, but it's not a brand that's new to this show. So I'm really looking forward to kind of learning more about their career, or should I say his career path, and sort of how he's gone from behind the back bar to being a global brand ambassador for arguably the biggest selling bourbon in the world, if you don't consider Jack Daniels up there. But it's an awesome story to be able to hear. And I just love hearing people's career paths in general. And we'll dive into that. Some more stuff about the different labels that he's in charge of, as well as some international markets. We got a lot of cool things we'll be able to talk about.
You know, I grew up down the road from Beam my whole life. They've been American iconic brand for years and consistently put out not only just really good products, but the most products out there in the market. And, you know, the scale of the brand is just quite impressive. And, you know, every other brand is like, that's the goalpost. They're like, we want to beat Beam. You know, that's our target. But two, you know, they have a lot of good legacy brands. Obviously, people are fans of Knob Creek and Booker's and Baker's and whatnot, but in Basil Hayden's, but starting to do some really fun, interesting, you know, with Freddie taking over, kind of getting his own little playground there at the bottom of the hill. He gets to play with new mash bills and new blends. And so the future is really exciting for Beam. And I'm really excited to hear what they got going on behind the scenes. And they're releasing some stuff that you're like, wait, what? Why are you all doing that? You know, so this will be a fun one.
It's good. We got Freddie there, some new blood to start shaking some things up. He kind of started off with Little Book being some of the crazy things he was putting out. I think there was some stuff with, I mean, crazy different mash bills. I think there was even like a rice whiskey in there at one point. So being able to see that and really kind of start opening the eyes up of not only just new bourbon consumers, but how the company can probably change and the culture can change and stuff like that too. So I'm excited for our guests to really dig into it today. So today on the show, we have Tim Heisler. He is the global brand ambassador for the small batch portfolio for Beam Suntory. So Tim, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here. Listening to your guys' podcast for a while, so super psyched to be here. Coming to you live from Tales of the Cocktail, New Orleans.
Oh, nice.
You're definitely having more fun than us right now.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Don't let the stories of Instagram stories of Tales let you believe it's all fun and games. There's still some work.
Your managers will be impressed that you're here, you're sober, you're looking good, you know. You're
he showered this
for being at Tales of the Cocktail.
Yeah, showered this morning. I did. That's right. Yeah, no, it's good. It's been a great week. Getting to see, you know, the whole team, all of our brand ambassadors across all of our brands. some people from our innovation teams, our brand houses. So Tails is always great. It's, you forget how many people from around the US and around the world all show up to this. So a lot of hugs.
What do you try to, as a big brand like that, what do you try to get out of Tails or so, or like a festival like that? Because obviously everybody knows who you are. So it's like, what's your goal with that?
From the Beam Suntory perspective, we do have a program called The Blend, which is like our educational platform. And that encompasses all of the brands that are underneath Beam Suntory. So whether it's our single malt portfolio, our tequila portfolio, House of Suntory, et cetera. So we do like full portfolio events. And that's really just to show some love to the hospitality community. We did a little coffee shop takeover this year. And then our larger scale events have all been Suntory focused. So this year is celebrating the 100 year anniversary of Yamazaki and Suntory producing whiskey. A lot of House of Suntory centric events this week.
So one of the things that I kind of want to get into a little bit before we dive into everything going on with you and Beam and globetrotting, being a global ambassador, let's kind of talk about your origin story here. So how did you get into the position that you are? Because we had mentioned before we started recording that you had kind of started back behind the bar, which I'm sure there's a lot of people out here that are listening in podcast land that might be in the same exact shoes. So kind of just talk about your career path and progression as well.
Yeah, happy to. Grew up right outside of Philadelphia. And after high school, well, during high school, I was working at a restaurant. After high school, moved into downtown Philly. Spent about 13 years in hospitality. Spent a lot of time working behind a whiskey bar and jazz venue called Time. That's kind of where I really found my passion for spirits and cocktails and most importantly, whiskey. It's where I got to meet people like Fred Noe, John Campbell, former distillery manager from Laphroaig. And from that was, again, timing and place. After many years running bars and restaurants, wanted to get away from it. It was, you know, anyone again that's listening that is behind the bar or managing bars, you know, it's the weekends are tough. It's hard to get to your friends' weddings. It's hard to get to holidays. So I wanted to make the move into I'm going to do air quotes, corporate booze, right? Had to sell my soul to go work for a corporation. But getting my foot in the door with Beam Suntory was like, I'm very, very lucky. I couldn't speak more highly about the company. And so, yeah, I just hit 6 years. Oh, actually, oddly enough, when I got hired 6 years ago, my first week on the job was Tales of the Cocktail. My hiring manager at the time, Mr. Adam Harris, he's like, hey, man, super psyched to have you on the team. Oddly enough, your starting date is Tales of the Cocktail. So book a flight to New Orleans. Yeah. And
make sure you don't screw up while you're down there. That's kind of yes. Testing ground.
He was like, hey, you're new. We get along real well. He's like, I need to say this. He's like, no one gets promoted at Tales. I'm just going to leave it at that. So I was like, week, you know, year one, midnight, I was a pumpkin. Like my alarm would go off on my phone and I was right to the hotel, right to bed, checking all the dots. So
that's smart. You can only screw it up at Tails. You can't.
Correct.
I love it. Well, happy anniversary. So you said you got your foot in the door. How did you get your foot in the door?
Yeah. So they had a position open as the East Coast brand ambassador for all of our American whiskeys. It was like exactly what I wanted to be doing. I've always loved and respected Freddie Noe, the brands that their family produces. And so for 5 years was doing the East Coast and sometimes other parts of the U.S. And then a year ago, transitioned from the East Coast ambassador now to the global ambassador. So just covering our small batch whiskeys. And a lot of that is now focused on international expansion and opening up new markets because we are all you guys are in Kentucky. I'm sure most listeners, obviously big bourbon lovers, but the majority of our spirits are consumed here in the States. And now we're looking to push our small batch whiskeys internationally, everywhere, all over the place.
That's kind of the goal, isn't it? I kind of have a question before we dive into the product a little bit. Is more about the role and the change coming from back behind the bars and going into the corporate booze world, as you say. So when you start off as just the East Coast ambassador, I mean, are you talking everything east of the Mississippi? Do you just split the country in half or is it just a handful of states?
So we have four ambassadors based in the U.S. Honestly, you can kind of look at it as time zones. So if you were in the Eastern time zone, so from Maine down to Miami, anything in there. So was living in Philadelphia and then moved to New York, obviously focusing on a lot of our major markets. So spent a lot of time in Miami, Atlanta, D.C., Boston, Charleston, other cities thrown in there as well. parts of Ohio as well. Of course, shout out to Philly, Pittsburgh. So it was great. I got to really like meet a lot of not only team members with Beam Suntory and our distributors, but also make a lot of great connections in the bartending and hospitality world. So just really getting out there, and said it before, it's all about storytelling. And trust me, if all these bottles could talk, I wouldn't have a job, right? So I'm well aware of that. Like, we are the voice of the brands and of the bottles, and also very much an extension of Fred and Freddie and the distillery. We have such a massive team in Kentucky and in our offices, whether it's from the marketing side, the sales side, again, distribution side. So for me, it's great. You get to kind of work with all of them, and you get to go out and build some love and build some affinity for some great products.
How many days on the road was that typically keeping you out of a month?
The travel is usually about 50 to 75% of the year on average. 50. Yeah, obviously the pandemic changed all of that, but 50 to 75% of the time we're on the road. This month, July, I was telling you guys on our little pre-recorded chat, this has been a long month. I haven't really been home this month. But August, I'm in New York, and I'm very excited to be in my own bed and be in the same coffee shop, you know, a couple times a week.
You know, a lot of consumers just see the bottles on the shelf and, you know, at bars and restaurants, but I guess they give them an insight of like what you do to foster relationships. So like, you know, is it through events or meeting with liquor stores? Like, talk about how much is involved to get like those relationships. Like, I don't think consumers understand like how important brand ambassadors are like to the whole process, because there's the three-tier system that you have to work in. You have to like kind of like stand out, and it's a competitive, you know, there's hundreds of bourbon brands now, and it's like, so give them an insight of like how much resources it takes to like just to maintain those, you know, that spit position on the shelf and whatnot.
Yeah, it's kind of a loaded question, but at the end of the day, the spirits business is a people business. I'm a very firm believer in that. And I'll bring it back to when I was bartending and as a restaurant and bar manager, like the brands, the portfolios that we were picking up as bartenders or making our cocktail menus, it's because we had a connection to them. I'd always talk about the first time I met Fred Noe. I was probably 22 years old. He was in Philly doing his market visit, doing whiskey trainings and lunches and meeting bartenders. And I'll never, ever forget the first time he walked into our restaurant and did like a whiskey class with us at 2 p.m. before a 12-hour shift. I mean, it changed the way I looked at bourbon. It changed the way I looked at a lot of whiskeys behind my bar. Fred, he's a great, again, storyteller and relationship builder. And I was into it. And I think when you're getting out there, again, we're not the only bourbon distillery. We're not the only ones producing small batch whiskeys. So much of why a particular bar or city is going to fall in love with you guys is that relationship. You know, I kind of make the joke, but I don't think many people walk into a grocery store and they're like, oh man, like, yo, Colgate toothpaste is just like,
it's off the chain.
I won't. Oh my, like, it's the only one I really, really will ever like. But you walk into a certain bar and you're like, oh, I'm a Knob Creek drinker. Like, that's what I drink. Whether it's because they met a brand ambassador or they were at an event, or it was because they were sitting at one particular bar and it's always going to bring them back to that feeling, that emotion. Who knows what it is? But a big part of our job, yes, is doing events, education, informing people about what Fred and Freddie and all the other team members are doing in Kentucky, because there's a lot that goes to it. People want that. People want to know the ins and outs of their product. I think with spirits in particularly, I think what you order at the bar or what you serve to your friends at your house does say something about you, right? I would tell everyone I ever hired. I said, there's two kinds of hosts. Like, if you go to your buddy's house or apartment, type A is you walk in and you're like, whoa, next thing you know, there's like a glass of wine in your hand and there's like a cheese board and the conversation's great. And you're like, how did this just happen so organically? The other is you walk in the door and they're like, hey, beer's in the fridge.
Yeah.
Like, so managing a restaurant, I always wanted type A, right? Like, I wanted our guests to walk in and before they knew it, they're like, holy hell, I'm trying this new whiskey, this new cocktail. I didn't know I wanted this, but now I'm going to order it every time I'm here. So building a brand and being an ambassador it's all encompassing of those things. I think connecting people to the places, the stories, the emotions that go into making these whiskeys is hopefully why people will continue to come back to our brands.
I'm curious how that like Beam strategy has evolved over time. The consumer used to be like, you'd hook them in as Jim Beam White Label or Knob Creek, and that's all they drink. But now the consumer is like all over the place. And like, how is it, you know, as a brand like that, because they're always wanting to try new things or shift and try that. It's like, how does a brand ambassador or a branding strategy for a big corporation like that to kind of combat that? You know, it used to be like, just scale and repeat this and don't break it. But now it's like completely changed.
I mean, it has completely changed. I mean, if Booker No is looking down on us right now and could even believe the fact that there is a podcast called Bourbon Pursuit and we are talking about the nuances of small batch whiskey, he'd be like, what the, like, you know, like when this stuff was coming back to life in the early 90s, this was not part of the plan, right? It's a much different market, which is great. It's a popular market.
He probably had no idea there were going to be 50 different batches about his life, you know, different story.
I mean, Booker, RIP, man. We're holding it down for you. We
still think he lived an interesting life. I don't think they'll ever run out of content.
So, oh my gosh, seriously. All that, you know, it's funny. I know I told you guys I forgot certain products to bring because you don't, who really brings product to Tails?
It's already
there.
It's
all over, right? But the one thing I did bring were these airplane bottles of Booker's as gifts.
Those are sweet.
These are pretty cool. But you know, Booker, the OG, the original brand ambassador, right? Traveling around, introducing people to his whiskeys. I think the way we look at it now, we have brand ambassadors around the globe. Like I said, we have 4 brand ambassadors in the US covering our small batch portfolio, but we have brand ambassadors for Sipsmith Gin and El Tesoro Tequila and Laphroaig and et cetera, et cetera. And we have brand ambassadors around the globe. You know, it was actually just last month at our International Brand Ambassador Summit in Madrid. And it was amazing to meet these spirits enthusiasts, brand ambassadors, many of whom have never been to Kentucky. And they're out there building, whether it's Jim Beam or Basil Hayden or Maker's Mark, whatever it may be. And they're over there telling the stories with passion, you know, that they have an affinity for bourbon, for these brands. And they're like, oh, I can't wait to get to Louisville. And I was like, I can't believe you're out here day and night, which is great. You know, so actually in September, we're getting a big group of them over to Kentucky for the first time, which is super exciting.
Yeah, I'll trade places with somebody in Madrid if they want to do that for a week.
Yeah. Madrid's my favorite city. I would totally trade
places. It was pretty cool. Madrid's, yeah, it was my first time there. It was a lot of fun. Yeah.
But you look at like the Booker's. Booker's was popular, but it was never like clearing off the shelves. But as soon as they start naming them batches and creating a story behind it, now they're like, you know, everybody's clearing the shelves of them. And, you know, and the whiskey really hasn't changed much. It's just that storytelling element.
I remember when they started adding the little sticker and story to it, because again, I was still new to the learning about bourbon and the bourbon world. And I remember the first time I was like, oh my God, they did a batch 2 this year. I mean, they always had, but it was just something that was on my like auto repeat order on the sheet of the bar, right? Get another bottle of Booker's. Again, shout out to Adam Harris, who was my first. I think he was actually one of the people in the room, the brainchild of, why don't we put a cool little sticker on there? So when you walk into your home bar, you can be like, oh yeah, I remember that one in particular. But yeah, it's created a collector's affinity to it. And that's also part of how the world of brand ambassadors changing, you know, educating people on that. And when we get new employees in, we got to educate all of our new employees who may or may not have come from a spirits background or a bar background, or some of them coming fresh out of school with a marketing degree and had no idea they're going to be working on really, really cool whiskey brands. They're excited about it.
And from that perspective of Booker's, knowing that it's flying off the shelves, it probably doesn't need much ambassadoring, I guess you could say, because there's not a whole lot of selling that needs to be done. The product kind of sells itself. And I'm not going to say that goes for everything in the portfolio. The Maker's name is by far pretty synonymous with everybody across the country. Of course, Knob Creek has that. So at certain points, do you all say, okay, this quarter, we're going to pivot and we're going to focus on this brand or this particular type of whiskey? Or is it, I've just got to get in front of people and just give them the whole spiel every single time?
Yes. So what I'll say to that is we definitely have certain brands that in certain markets are a priority, right? And that is based on distribution, availability. You know, our strategy team is the one that really puts those wheels in motion. But what I love about our portfolio, when we're in certain markets or certain cities, if they do have the full breadth of our portfolio, we can do a unbelievable line tasting, you know, whether it's from our rye whiskeys to up to our cask strength bourbons and any innovations that Freddie's working on. For me currently, like my big goal right now is growing Basil Hayden in international markets. So Basil Hayden's been our fastest growing small batch whiskey. And that's also based on availability, interest level, and just entering new markets with a new product. Basil's, from an international perspective, huge for us. And then we look here in the States, again, we talk all about Freddie's innovations because there's so much stuff that he's producing that is only US available, whether it's, I mean, we don't do a ton of distillery only releases, but there are a lot of products that are just US focused right now.
You bring up an interesting question for me. It's like you have a formula that worked in the US and now you're trying to expand in Europe and internationally. Talk about the challenges or differences, because, you know, I've been to Europe and there's a few bourbons there, but the culture is really in the wine or brandies or scotches. And it's like, how do you change that culture or mindset to be like, okay, this is, you know, this is bourbon and this is something that you could enjoy here and in part in your culture as well?
Internationally, a lot of American whiskeys have historically been, I'm going to use Australia as an example, because spent a lot of time there this year, and that's been a really big priority and a fast growing market for American whiskeys. Historically, everything American whiskey wise there was consumed like in an RTD, in a can, right? Jim Beam and Cola, Jack and Cola, right? So that is how most people were consuming bourbon. Now, I think as we've seen cocktail bars, world renowned cocktail bars, really branching out into different spirits, really pushing the boundaries and being the leader of introducing a lot of other spirits to people in cities like Sydney and Melbourne and Brisbane, et cetera. A lot of it does, I think, rest on some of these cocktail bars, your higher end liquor stores that are educating people that it doesn't have to just be in a can with a mixer, right? There are some really nice higher end small batch American whiskeys that are meant for sipping, or maybe throw an ice cube in it or go make a badass cocktail. So I think that is for us as the biggest challenge is combating what for decades has probably been the understood way of consuming bourbon, and now pushing, again, what we all know that you can have in a nice neat pour and slow sipper.
I was going to kind of tail on the before Ryan and I kind of talked there a second, is that I'm assuming the Basil Hayden, that is the lead because A, it's in some nicer packaging, but it's also an 80 proof whiskey. So it's not going to sit there and light everybody's chest on fire. And it's going to be that sort of gateway drug, if you will, into their world of whiskey, or into, I guess, into American whiskey.
Yeah, it's definitely, you're spot on. The packaging is approachable. The whiskey itself is approachable. It's meant to be, whether you've been drinking bourbon for years or you're new to it. I don't think entering a lot of these international markets and saying, everyone's got to drink Booker's. Don't get me wrong. Love me some Booker's.
Yeah.
Love me some Booker's. However, if you are a stranger to American whiskeys, this is a great way to bring people into the fold. And I think especially into our distillery and what we're capable of doing, right? Because we might open up with that and then they go, oh, well, what else do you guys make? We're like, well, we got a lot, right? You know, right now, I think we're covering 10 different brands, whether it's, like I said, Basil to Booker's to Little Book to Old Overholt, like it's all over the place, right? We have a lot of tools in our tool belt. So, but Basil's definitely one that we're seeing as, and again, yeah, driving that premiumization and bringing people into a new understanding of what bourbon could be.
Yeah, the price is great. The packaging's great, you know, and it's that we go to cities and I do events and whatnot, and I'll just go to bars and pop in and see what, you know, I try to find ones, not just because I'm trying to relive my glory days, but I'll go to ones that are where the crowd's between 25 and 35. And I'll go to a bar and if I see them, and 9 times out of 10, I start seeing them ordering Basil Hayden's and Maker's Mark. And I'm like, okay, this shows me that there's still potential in American whiskey just in the US, because in Denver or Austin or any city, that's what they're ordering. And that's typically people's beginning journey to appreciate really good American whiskey is that Basil Hayden's.
It's funny, our server yesterday at lunch, we had a nice little lunch here in New Orleans, and our server, we could tell he was having a busy lunch service and a busy week with Tales of the Cocktail. I'm like, "You doing all right, man?" He's like, "I'll be doing a lot better when I get that glass of whiskey at the end of my shift." I'm like, "I feel you on that, you know?" And he's probably 27 years old. I'm like, "Glad you're on the whiskey train, man. Like, welcome to it."
And being a part of a brand ambassador, it's like, it's on me. It'll be here waiting for you after your shift's over, right?
Yeah, he had a cocktail waiting for him when his shift was over. Absolutely.
Love it. So the other thing I kind of want to talk about is, as being a global brand ambassador, you look at the faces of Jim Beam, and what people have really assumed in our world is, we've had them on the show before with Fred and Freddie No, and they're amazing storytellers, but they're not scalable. You can't just replicate them and clone them 50 different times and send them all over the country to go and do everything. How do you replicate what they're doing? Like, how do you convey their level of storytelling into your own narrative so you can tell that story over and over again as if they were there themselves? Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. And with Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. And you can get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/bourbon, all lowercase, and go to shopify.com/bourbon to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/bourbon. If you're anything like me, then you can't get enough about bourbon. And that's why I'm a subscriber to Bourbon Plus magazine. Bourbon Plus is a quarterly publication that tells the stories from the heart of bourbon, the farmers who grow the grain, the distillers who labor over the process, and the people, like you and me, who raise their glasses to celebrate it all. Subscribe to Bourbon Plus magazine today at bourbonplus.com, that's PLUS.com, and use code PURSUIT at checkout for $5 off your subscription. So the other thing I kind of want to talk about is, as being a global brand ambassador, you look at the faces of Jim Beam, and what people have really assumed in our world is, we've had them on the show before with Fred and Freddie No, and they're amazing storytellers, but they're not scalable. You can't just replicate them and clone them 50 different times and send them all over the country to go and do everything. How do you replicate what they're doing? Like, how do you convey their level of storytelling into your own narrative so you can tell that story over and over again as if they were there themselves?
Man, the idea of 50 Freddies is just terrible.
Yeah, we don't need that.
I know Freddie, so that's a fair, valid point.
Yes, yeah, and I'll say that to his face as well. Freddie and I have a good little back and forth anytime we present. We definitely lay into each other. But honestly, like, it is that. It is. I'm very lucky to have now been with the company 6 years. I've spent a lot of time both with Fred and Freddie. The times I spend with them are part of my journey and part of my story. Like I said, being over in Madrid and was lucky enough to present to all the ambassadors over there. And a part of it, I'm just like death by PowerPoint at this stage of our lives, right? But I just have like photos kind of going in the background. And some of them are like pictures of me and Freddie at an event or at the distillery and the relationship I have with them. And being given permission to go kind of represent them is, I don't take that lightly, but a lot of, I think my story, my journey, my connection to the brands and their family, it's a unique one. We were talking before about my very close friend, Beth Burroughs. She's our senior ambassador here in the US, like near and dear friend of mine. Joked earlier, my mother adopted Beth. She's the sixth Heisler child. You know what I mean? So like, this is a family, it's a community. I'm going to go talk about what Fred and Freddie what they do at the distillery. I'm also going to talk about what Michael Voiles, our distillery manager, does, and April Elston, and all these just other great humans that are behind the brands. I'm very lucky to call them friends. It's great.
Michael doesn't do anything. I know. Voiles doesn't do anything.
He makes it look good, though.
He's just following Freddie around. That's all he does all day. I'm just messing. Michael's a good buddy. We went to high school together.
Oh, no way. Huge fan of Michael. He's always very, very generous with his time. So when we bring bartenders or liquor store owners, et cetera, Michael's always happy to meet for lunch, host a tour. I look at people like Michael and Freddie, of course, and the amount of knowledge they have about the distillery, the ins and outs, the inner workings of it, it's fascinating. I go to the distillery, but I've never lived in Kentucky. I've never clocked in and out of there for 40 hours a week. So every day I get there is a learning opportunity. And we know a lot of people aren't going to make the journey to Kentucky, right? Especially when we're talking to people in Mexico City or Sydney or Madrid. Like, they love hearing about these folks and what they do.
Very cool. So this might be a corporate slide, as you kind of mentioned before here. I would imagine at some point when you do get this position as an ambassador or anything for the small batch portfolio, but at some point they have to go, this is what small batch means. So what does small batch mean to Jim Beam and Beam Suntory?
I forget who I'm stealing this quote from, but I think I first heard Beth say it. More than one, less than all.
I love that.
There you go. That's it's great. Not a single barrel, and it's not all of our barrels. So it's a small batch, right?
That's a great answer.
There you go. That's Corporate Tim. There you go. Corporate Tim checking in. I always joke. I mean, again, when Booker and the team produce small batch, I'm sure there's a bunch of people kicking themselves in the butt for not finding a way to copyright that. Or we were really the first ones to put small batch on those labels. And I joke that small batch is on everything. I'm not even kidding. On the flight either here or last week, there was like a little lemon bar, like in the airplane snack. It said like small batch lemon bar. And I'm like, what the heck? Like, what does that even mean? Like, what does it mean to them? I don't know what it means to them. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, it's not legally defined. And I'm very, very clear with people on that when we host educations at how do we define bourbon, blah, 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 blah. But I always talk about small batch. I'm like, that is a marketing term. It's a great one. Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. So you got success with the small batch and, you know, the flagships and whatnot. But now you see Beam coming out with Claremont Steep, a single malt. And then you have like Freddie doing these Hardens Creek, and there's like a 14-15-year-old blend, which is okay, I get that. But then there's like a 2-year-old in there, but it's actually really good. And it's like, so talk about that side of, and I don't know if that's part of your portfolio or your responsibilities, but to me, it's an exciting part of what a big corporation, typically they just stay in their lane. And it seems like you guys are pushing innovation, not just like they're toasting barrels or this and that. It's like you're actually like going out and making some interesting, unique products.
Those brands certainly fall underneath that small batch category for us, kind of like in our prestige and emerging brands, if you will. This is Freddie. When I first started, Freddie was kind of just also coming up. He was obviously working at the distillery. He was not yet named master distiller, which he is now. It's nice, both him and his father are operating side by side. But Freddie really, really pushes the teams at the distillery with innovation and what is possible there. His first brand, Little Book, that was his nickname. He does have a lot of, I think from a distiller's perspective, a lot of qualities that his grandfather Booker had. I love walking around the distillery with Freddie, and he just looks at things differently. He, I think, challenges a lot of people. You know, we have a lot of guys and girls at the distillery that have been there for many, many years. You know, their parents weren't there. Their families weren't there. I'm just using this. At 3 p.m., we do this. Freddie says, why? And so that's what we do at 3 p.m. He's like, no, that's not the answer. You got to understand why we're doing what we're doing, what flavors are being created, what is that doing to our whiskey? So his new craft distillery at the bottom of the hill that you mentioned, it's also a classroom, right? So not only do we have students from University of Kentucky come into our distillery, we're also having our current employees go to classes there to really understand, like drive that education and understanding of every process and what that does to our whiskey. But yeah, this year, super excited that American Single Malt Claremont Steep is just coming out. Hardin's Creek will be an ever-evolving annual release of super limited and very kind of cool different whiskeys that kind of bring people through their whiskey drinking journey. You know, you mentioned last year's releases. This year's releases is the Kentucky series. So there are 17-year-old barrels that were aged at our three different campuses. So distilled on the same day, and these barrels found their way to Boston, Kentucky, Claremont, Kentucky, and Frankfort, Kentucky. So very different style warehouses and different style maturation coming out of each one of them.
We can get on board with that.
So what does Suntory think of the single malt? Are they like, that's cute, you Americans playing with single malt. We've been doing it. Or do they see an opportunity?
No, absolutely. It's been cool. And this is very much a Freddie project. You know, the category of American single malt is, it's growing. It really is. And I was actually shocked to see American single malts also getting a lot of shelf placement overseas, because that term single malt, yeah, obviously we have brands like Lafroy and Bowmore, and obviously, yes, Suntory brands, Yamazaki and Hakushu, but Freddie and what we're doing here is not to replicate what we're doing in Scotland or Japan, right? It is uniquely American and uniquely from Claremont, but also the category of American single malt is quite loosely defined right now, right? We're still working with the TTB, and there's a lot of distilleries trying to kind of think better define it and kind of tighten those guidelines of what it has to be called an American single malt. But Claremont Steep is our first step into that. Suntory is excited about it. I'll tell you that. Freddie goes over to Japan to work with our teams there. Shinji Fukuya-san, our chief blender, comes to Kentucky quite a bit. Actually, he's here at Tails right now. I got to bump into him yesterday. I love that we have whiskey makers from very, very different parts of the globe making very different styles of whiskey, actually coming together, sitting in rooms together, learning from one another. It's great. It's only beneficial for Freddie and all of his teams to get that exposure and experience from some other really great whiskey makers.
As a brand ambassador, what does that mean for your job when it's like, okay, I got the pitch down for Knob Creek. We do this. We got it. Great. And then all of a sudden they've got another SKU or another brand that they're bringing out. It's like, all right, start this train back over. And I got to relearn everything. And then I got to go back to all these cities and reteach people about Hardin's Creek and Claremont. Like, what's it do from a job perspective?
It's great. It means I still have a job. You kidding me? Like, let's go.
Start racking up those Delta airline miles, right? So,
no, it's exciting because it is like, especially with Hardin's Creek and Claremont, it is the next, we say small batches, a very, again, kind of broad paintbrush stroke of all these different brands at our distillery. The originals were Booker's, right? Who created Booker's, Baker's, Knob Creek, Basil. But now we're seeing Freddie and the brands he's creating. He's almost like, it's the next frontier of American whiskey. And he's putting his stamp on the distillery and on creating some new style spirits. It's fun. It really is. It's cool to work with the team at the distillery and our marketing teams and our sales teams. Like, it's a very cross-functional kind of job that we're in. When you go to talk to Gary that owns the liquor store, he wants to hear something very different than our distributors in a particular city or country of the world, right? They're different talking points, different selling points, and different stories.
When's the next Booker's Rye going to come? Because to me, that's my favorite product is the Knob Creek Rye, that profile. I mean, it's every time we did a single barrel pick, it was like money. And I love making Manhattans and old fashions with that stuff. It's good.
No comment.
There you go.
On the next release. I will say.
I was joking. I knew it was going to be nothing. But that's one of the best releases out there ever, I think.
I agree. And we are all well aware of that behind the scenes as well. So we are doing a lot of work with our rye portfolio. We really are. I mean, Freddie's got some really cool different rye whiskeys in barrels and also ready to go. It's not January of 2024 yet, but when it is, I'll send you some really cool stuff. We got some really fun stuff in the pipeline in the rye category, but no comment if we're going to do another release of Booker's Rye. I want to, trust me.
That's okay.
I'm in there waving the Booker's Rye flag. Don't you, like, you better believe it. I'm in there like, well, Booker's Rye, but we'll see.
Yeah.
You know?
And just start making batches out of them.
Yeah.
It's Tim's batch.
But it brings up a good point. Like, still rye whiskey, you know, is not as easy sell as bourbon. People kind of have this like polarizing thing with rye. Like, I'm not a rye drinker, or I am a rye drinker. It's like, so like American single malt to us, it's like, that's going to be even more polarizing than rye whiskey. And so how do you combat that, I guess, as a brand ambassador and like trying to get people to break that stigma or whatever about it?
I think we faced that same kind of barrier. Again, like I'd say as a bartender, when people even back then were like, rye, like no one's, I don't drink rye. I'm a bourbon drinker. I don't drink rye. And then you found that one rye and they're like, oh, this is really good. And you're like, yeah, it is really good. Welcome to it. American single malt is providing that same challenge. And again, I think, again, there's podcasts about bourbon now, right? You look at the shelves of whiskey stores and they're endless. So I think the thirst for knowledge and also having that openness to try new styles. And when you're coming from a distillery and a team that's as credible as Freddie Noe and his team, I think people are much more willing to jump in and give it a taste. I love it. I'm a big fan, 5 years old. And again, I think also having watched the journey of Freddie wanting to produce this, doing it, barreling it, and now having it at the end has been great. That goes back to your point earlier. It's awesome that I've been working with the team for this many years to see that full from start to finish. I can't take credit for making it, but I can go tell the story of how it came to life, which is cool. But I think people are willing to try and branch out. And if it's not your cup of tea, well, we still make a bunch of other badass teas. We've been making them for a while. So it's all good. You know?
Keep drinking what you've been drinking.
Yeah.
So another question about just understanding what happens. I'm sure as being an ambassador, you go into a lot of different accounts. You're an ambassador for Beam Suntory, but there's also ambassadors for every other whiskey portfolio that's out there. So you've got to keep some sort of pulse on the competition. If you see somebody coming out with something, do you take it back to your higher ups or to the R&D teams and going like, what's our answer to this? Are we going to have something that's similar, or are we going to zig left when they're zagging right? Like, how do you define that?
That's another part of the job I very much enjoy. The team I report to, the team that I'm on for the most part, are all based in New York and are not on the road and are not as consumer facing, right? More like we have our headquarters in our New York office. So a lot of what I do is also market research. Yes, to say so-and-so is really kicking ass in this department or in this category, and they're doing some really cool events at Tales of the Cocktail this year. So a big part of it is, yes, understanding what our competitors are doing, but also like a lot of them are my buddies, right? Like hopefully going to go have dinner with the Wild Turkey crew tonight. Love those guys. It is definitely keeping a finger on the pulse. You guys obviously are doing the same. I'm sure every time you open up that next magazine of what are the releases this month, there are a lot of times like, dang, did both of these distilleries like email each other and say, hey, you know what we should release in October of 2023? Like we are aware of what people are doing. We are friends with the folks at the other distilleries. So we do know projects they're working on. We talk about our barrels and all the innovation coming from Independent Stave Company. I listened to your guys' podcast. Love hanging out with Andrew. I know he was on your guys' show not too long ago, and he's working with all the same distilleries, right? His team's working with the same distilleries. So a lot of these innovations, we're not in a silo. We're not meant to be in a silo. We are meant to understand what everyone else is doing out there. And there's no shortage of stuff to taste, as we know.
Just stay out of the Amberana lane.
There you go.
No, this has been great. I mean, I think we've definitely touched on a lot in regards of just what it's like for you and to be a day in your shoes, because it sounds like you get to do a ton of different things, which is awesome. I'm sure a lot of people are listening to this and going, gosh, you're telling me that I can go and travel the world and just drink booze all the time? Sign me up. But there's so much more that goes on behind the scenes. It's not just all wining and dining, but there is the competition side. There's the education side. It is a constant evangelism of the brands, and you're constantly also fighting everybody else that's out there. It's how do you fight for the attention when everybody else is doing the same exact thing as well?
Yeah, it is. And again, I know I'm very lucky to do it. I, again, couldn't speak more highly of the team and the company I'm with. They've been really great to give someone like myself an opportunity that just came from behind the bar and running restaurants. It's a fun time to be in the whiskey industry. But yeah, my siblings all joke. I mean, you said it, Ken. You're like, oh, you just travel around and drink bourbon. Like, there's a lot more that goes to it. My siblings wouldn't tell you that. They'll say exactly what you just said. They go, oh, our youngest, that's all he does.
I mean, there might be a spreadsheet thrown in there every once in a while, but there's definitely some
spreadsheets and PowerPoints and presentations.
There's some goals to hit.
There are goals to hit. I have my mid-year review after this, actually. So shout out to Bobby. Hopefully I get a good mid-year review. Still here, still employed. So
is he going to bring up your Delta.com profile? I need to see how many sky miles you've hit this year. Is that what it is?
There's a lot. That beats you up, man. You know, people forget, you got to stretch. You got to take care of yourself. Like, I've seen a lot of people get real, real run down being on the road. You got to find that balance. And I'll say that to anyone that's new to the brand ambassador world or entering the spirit, and to bartenders as well. Standing behind the bar for that many hours, for that many years, like, that beats you up. So finding that balance and knowing your body and when you got to take a break is very important. So like I said, I'm home almost all of August and I can't wait. Oh man, it's going to be great.
Yeah, that's good advice though.
Yeah, July probably only saw my own bed like 6 or 7 nights in July. It was a very busy month. And then next month, I'm going to chill. It's going to be nice. Get all the spreadsheets you were talking about, all those presentations, all those recaps, all those insights. That's for August. Yeah.
We'll eat healthy next month. That's what it
is. Yes. Oh my God. I'm going to. I'm excited. You'd be shocked at how much the idea of like just a really amazing home cooked meal, all the vegetables. It's going to be great. All the club soda. I'll do like a club soda pairing. What's the best bubbly water that's going to go well with this chicken salad, whatever.
Anyway. it's just baked chicken for the rest of the month, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Tim, I want to say thank you again for coming on the show today, sharing just more about your background, being a global ambassador, more about the portfolio and where things are going. It was just a pleasure to finally make this connection, meet you and share your story with our audience as well. And if there's any way that people want to follow you, I don't know if you got social or anything like that you want to put out there, if they want to learn more about you or just learn more about the small batch portfolio, how would they do it?
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, if you're listening to the podcast, you can see my name right there. I got a very odd spelling to my last name. If you put Tim Heisler in Instagram, you can follow along with innovations that we're doing, global travels, the next markets we're going to be opening up. You'll probably see a lot of photos of my nieces and nephews. Sorry, not sorry, but I got a big family and I leave here tomorrow, go to Pittsburgh for my nephew's 13th birthday party. We're taking him to the Phillies at Pirates series. So, you know, I'm pretty active on Instagram and hopefully I can bump into y'all and have a drink face to face, because I say it all the time. I've seen a lot of different faces walk into a lot of different bars over the years, and not as many things are bringing people together the way I've seen a glass of whiskey bring two very different walks of life together. Right. So we're in a very at times divided world. And I love that the brands and the company and the teams I represent, I think, do a really good job of bringing people together and, you know, having a level playing field while having a conversation with one another. So hopefully next time we're having a glass of whiskey together, whether it's in Kentucky or anywhere.
We'll come to Kentucky. We'll wake up Michael and Freddie from their naps and we'll yeah. Go have a drink, you know, next time you're in town.
That'd be great. I'll be back there in September, actually, with all of our international BAs, so our brand ambassadors. So hopefully if we can meet up for a drink, that'd be great.
Yeah. We'll be at Bourbon Fest and all that stuff. I know Freddie's there a lot.
Oh, yeah.
So definitely would love to.
Very cool.
I appreciate your guys' time as well. I know you got busy schedules, so thanks for being flexible and sending me this super fancy microphone to use in the hotel room. So appreciate you guys and spreading, allowing us to have the platform to talk to y'all.
Absolutely, man. That's what we're here for. I definitely, again, appreciate your time. And make sure you follow Tim. Make sure you check out everything that's happening inside the Beam Suntory Small Batch portfolio. But also leave a review for the show if you like the show. Share it with a friend. Listen to the show together. Maybe that's how you can bond over. Get a glass of Booker's and just talk about what's happening here as well. But with that, cheers, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Toodles.
Cheers, y'all.